Welcome to Talking Mopars, episode number 160. Man, I'm back from the holidays and having the worst case of the flu I've ever had. My voice is finally back and I'm ready to rock and roll. I've got three shorter form episodes for you guys, starting with this one, episode number 160, which is going to be my 2022 review, which basically just goes over all my adventures from 2022, starting with the Mopars 5150 muscle car sell-off and ending with the duct tape drags. And of course, my latest controversy, me putting up my Roadrunner for sale or trade. I'll explain everything on this episode. So without further ado, if you are a Mopar enthusiast, then you are in the right place. Don't go anywhere. You're tuned into the best Mopar enthusiast-driven podcast on planet Earth. And I'm your host, Chris Albrecht, better known as the Mopar Hunter, and this is Talking Mopars.
You're listening to Talking Mopars with the Mopar Hunter, your direct connection to all things Mopar.
All right, guys, it's good to be back. Like I said, I had the worst case of the flu. It knocked me out completely. I couldn't even talk. My voice was gone. Every other word, I was coughing. It was awful, but here we are. So I need to catch up and get you guys some content. And before I got sick, I was intending on doing a 2022 review, just basically talking about all my Mopar adventures. So let's start from the top. The beginning of last year, I went out to Cleveland, Georgia, to check out the Mopars 5150 muscle car sell-off. And to this day, I will still say that that was the most Mopar project cars for sale or project cars in general that I've ever seen in one place. Man, it was a lot of fun. So thanks to the guys over at Mopars 5150 for having me out. It was, like I said, a lot of fun. It was dumping rain. I got soaked. But man, it was just a good time looking at all the cars. And I know that it's super controversial because when you're scrolling on Facebook or whatever, and you see this property with all these awesome cars that are seemingly just rotting into the ground, I can understand why some people at first are like, oh my God, you know, you're just letting them rot, blah, blah, blah. What you got to understand is the Mopars 5150 guys, they're the ones who got those cars to that location in the first place because they were already rotting somewhere else. So they brought them there with intentions to either restore them or flip them and get them to people that would save them. So I couldn't fault the guys over at Mopars 5150 for that. In fact, you know, it was nice knowing that there's somebody out there with the ability to go get these cars from whatever doom they have, you know, barns, sheds, backyards, ravines, you know, bushes, wherever they're finding these things, at least there's somebody out there pulling them out of the weeds and getting them to a place where they can either be fixed or sold to be fixed. So they had, I mean, E-bodies. They had one A-body too. They had the 71 Demon, which is still there. As of right now, for those of you that don't know, back around Christmas, I guess, Mopars 5150 lost their lease at that location in Cleveland, Georgia. So basically the property owners, the way I understand it, is they didn't want to up the lease. So now Mopars 5150 is having another liquidation sale. Lots of viable projects there. And I know there's people out there that are complaining about the prices. Man up and make an offer. You know what I mean? It's like, when has anyone ever paid? I mean, I'm sure it's happened. I know it's happened. But I mean, come on. You know, what's the worst they could say? No? Cool. You know, no big deal. But there's still some amazing cars there just waiting to be finished or started. You know, like I said, some really viable projects. They have a black, they have a TX9 70 Super B that I really liked. God, if I had the means. But yeah, man, what a fun adventure that was. I had never been to Georgia. You know, flying into Atlanta, that's a whole different ballgame, man. I don't know if you guys have ever been to the Atlanta airport, but damn, that thing is huge. It's like an international hub. I've never seen so many planes and so many people in one place to travel in my entire life. But gosh, so I get off the plane when I get to Georgia, right? I get my rental car, which is a newer Dodge Charger RT. And I left the airport without plugging into my GPS. I knew what direction I had to go, or at least I thought. And I get into some morning traffic. And I end up taking a couple wrong turns. And I end up, I wanted to go to Walmart because I needed to grab a couple things. And namely some little memory discs or whatever for my GoPro. And I ended up finding a Walmart in the wrong part of town. And we'll leave it at that. I lived. I kept the doors locked. And I tried not to make eye contact. But we made it out of downtown Atlanta. And I made it up to Cleveland. Yeah, I guess I'm kind of skipping over some parts because I got a really, really crappy motel. One of the no-tell motels. That was awful. I tried to get a couple minutes of sleep because I really hadn't slept. And I lay down and somebody's building some stairs. So I couldn't even sleep. But fast forward to me actually getting to the property and seeing all the cars and meeting all the Mopars 5150 guys. Man, the 5150 guys are cool as hell, dude. You know, Troy, Tony, Nico, and all the rest of the gang. Man, it couldn't be a cooler group of guys. And all really fun to talk Mopars with and stuff. Super hospitable. They let me have free rein. I got to walk all around. And Nico and I even went for a ride in a 72 Ronin, and we just took that sucker out. And I actually have a video of it. And he's getting a little crazy behind the wheel. And there's a couple cops around. And I'm like, hey, dude. And he's like, oh, don't worry. They don't give a shit here. And I'm like, okay. But that was a lot of fun. There was quite it was tough because Mopars 5150, as well known as they are, for some reason, I don't know if it was timing, time of year, or what it was, but not that many people showed up to that first sell-off. I was actually surprised. I thought the place was going to, you know, be swarming with people, but some people did come by. There was a very big company there. You may know them. It was Speed Corps. They bought a few cars there. And then, you know, some Chargers left, and I don't really know exactly how many cars were sold that day or that weekend, but there was a few cars sold. But it was just, you know, going back to their inventory, you know, what did they not have? You know what I mean? And it wasn't like they had just a bunch of JH cars. You know, they had some Challenger RTs. They didn't just have a bunch of Barracudas. They had some Cudas. They had Roadrunners, GTXs, Super Bs, Chargers. My God, they had a whole side of the building that was nothing but Chargers. And that wasn't even including what was on the inside of the building. They had an FM3 Barracuda, original Slant 6 car with, I believe, white interior. They had the Rum Runner, which is a really cool old school, I believe it was a 67 Coronet drag car. That thing's badass. The rear wheel wells have been radiused. Just a cool drag car. In fact, Richard Rawlings from Gas Monkey Garage actually posted about going out there and buying that car and probably some other Mopars. So I'm curious to see what he goes out there and gets. But a really fun time. I really enjoyed walking around, just checking out all the cars. And at one point, Tony from Mopars 5150 and I went out and we went live on their Instagram. And we went around this entire location with, I mean, gosh, you could have told me there was 100 cars there and I would have believed you. And we went around this entire location while it was pouring down rain. And Tony gave me every detail about every single one of those cars. He knew all the stories. So that was super impressive. Tony is an encyclopedia. I got to get him on the show. We just had Nico on recently, which was a lot of fun. We got to get the rest of the Mopars 5150 guys on. We got to get Troy on. We got to get Tony on. And it would be fun to do a show with the whole gang. That would be awesome. But just a ton of fun. They're having their sell-off one more time. So they're trying to sell everything off. Everything must go. So if you don't follow Mopars 5150 on Facebook or Instagram, do so. And you can see a list of the inventory prices, whether they have fender tags or not, and all that stuff on their social media. And you can find them at Mopars 5150. That's at Mopars 5150. If you guys are listening to this, thanks for having me out. And best of luck on your most recent sell-off. I really fell in love with that Demon. And actually, I was trying to work a deal with Troy on the 71 Demon that they have. It's a real tragic story. They have so many cars there that they couldn't keep them all inside. So what happened was some scumbags came into the property and jacked, I believe, the entire drivetrain, including the rear axle assembly, out of that Demon. Yeah, what a travesty. Scumbag thieves. We had agreed on a price. And I was working on trying to get the car shipped, but it was just over my budget. That was a really tough one to let go because it was a really cool car, originally a 344 speed. Had to let that one go. That one kind of hurt my feelings. But a lot of cool cars there. They had a Limelight AAR column shift CUDA there. And the inside, I mean, gosh, you guys really just go to my YouTube channel and check out the videos that I'm going to be posting. I posted one already. It's part one of the Mopars 5150 muscle car sell-off. I have some other videos I need to dig up, and I'll be posting them. But if you want to see what I'm talking about, you can go there and check. Go to my YouTube channel, Talking Mopars Podcast on YouTube, and check out the video. It's crazy. Hell of a time. I wish I could have gone back just to revisit what they have. Because like I said, I go in the building, and they've got a bunch of cars that are currently in the process of being restored. And over in the corner, hiding, I'm walking through, and I look over, and there is my dream car. A 1970 Plymouth Superbird Vitamin C Hemi car, and I believe it was a 4-speed. It doesn't get any better than that. I couldn't even go over there and like take a hard look at it because I was just like, I can't. It's gonna hurt my feelings too much. But what an amazing car that was. I can't say enough about those guys. They're awesome and hell of a collection of cars. And it was funny because candidly, Troy, the guy who started the whole Mopars 5150 movement, we were kind of BSing and we were at one of the doors of the building and I was just telling him, man, I've never seen so many cars in one spot, like so many Mopar project cars, some cool Mopar project cars. And, he's a pretty humble guy from my experience with him. And he's like, oh man, this is nothing. You should see my house. And I was just like, oh my God. And everybody that knows Troy and that I've talked to about what they do at Mopars 5150 all say the same thing. Oh my God, his house has so many more Mopars than what's in Georgia. So I thought that was pretty funny. But after the Mopars 5150 muscle car sell off, I guess, I have a month, and then I had to head out to Vegas for Muscle Cars at the Strip's 20th anniversary. Big event for me. I've mentioned it before that I never got to go to Matt's when it was Mopars at the Strip, and I've only started going in the past few years. So I was really happy that I got to participate in the 20th anniversary. Again, I was... a brand ambassador. I really enjoyed the event and I saw the potential in it. And I just wish I had gotten to see the rest of the history, but I had never made it down to Vegas for that show, mostly because of money and funds. But because of this podcast and things I do in relation to this podcast, I was able to get the funds together to start going to the show, hang out with my friends down there, Johnny Mopar, and the rest of the gang, Mike Coffee, and then even the Mopars 5150 guys. I actually met them at the first Matt's that I went to a couple years ago. And it's a cool event at a really amazing facility. And I've become friends with Phil Painter and Bill Adams from Muscle Cars at the Strip. Super cool dudes. And they've allowed me to kind of be a small part of their event in helping promote it. So that's a lot of fun. This past spring for the 20th anniversary, it was a hell of a time. God, did I have fun. The only mistake that I made was where I stayed. I stayed at the Golden Nugget, and it sucked. I don't know who says stay in Old Vegas, but I don't like Old Vegas. I'm either staying right off the Strip, or this year, because Muscle Cars at the Strip is coming back to Las Vegas March 17th through the 19th, 2023 at Las Vegas Motor Speedway. This year is going to be a really special year. It's the 21st year, and for the first time ever, we're having a special little sideshow in the car show that we're calling Project Cars at the Strip. That's going to be a lot of fun. More details on that can be found on my social media or at Matt's LV on social media. It's basically a sideshow for $25. You bring your project car, and it has to be running and driving to enter it into the Project Cars at the Strip display. And we're going to have our own little section of cool-ass project cars. This was all spearheaded by Mike Coffey when he challenged me to get my Roadrunner done by that show. We turned it into Project Cars of the Strip, and we're kind of off to the races now. The rules are simple. Have a project car. It can be a Mopar, a Ford, or any GM. Muscle car, preferably. Muscle truck. And you want to document your progress on it, or at least show us what stage it's at right now. We would like them to be non-running, ideally, because that makes the challenge more fun. You tag myself, so at Talking Mopars Podcast, and then you tag Muscle Cars of the Strip, so at MATSLV, and then you hashtag Project Cars of the Strip, and share a picture of your project or multiple pictures of your project, and give us the quick rundown of the vehicle and how much work you got to do, and that you're going to see us in Vegas. And then go make sure you register at mattslv.com. It's $25 if you want to participate in the racing or the autocross or any of the other sub-events at Muscle Cars of the Strip. Costs a little bit extra, so make sure you register for all the things you'd like to participate in, but the Project Cars of the Strip display is only $25. So keep that in mind. But last year was a lot of fun. Swap meet, just cruising around, watching all the racing. It has become one of my favorite events, mostly because it's just the atmosphere and knowing the history of Muscle Cars at the Strip. I'm so glad to be a part of it. I just want it to continue and to grow. I would love to see this turn out to be the biggest muscle car festival on the West Coast. I also really love that little shitty town, Vegas. I don't know. There's something about Las Vegas that I like. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's the lights or if it's all the debauchery. I don't know. But I can tell you one thing. Las Vegas Motor Speedway is an amazing facility. And when I got off the plane this year, I decided to rent a cooler car. the last time I was out there, I rented a Jeep Compass or something like that. I don't know. I don't remember what kind of little shitty Jeep I rented, but I rented a little shitty Jeep because it was cheap. This time around, I lucked out, and I usually rent my cars on Turo. And I went on Turo, and I saw a brand new 2020, I think it was a 2021 or 2022, wide body Scat Pack Charger for $72 a day. And I was like, are you shitting me? I was like, of course I'm going to pick the wide body Scat Pack Charger for $72 a day. So I picked that thing. It was octane red, and it was a blast to drive. I meet the guy who's renting it to me. I meet him in the cell phone lot, right outside of Harry Reid International Airport. And he gives me the rundown on the car. I take off. I get on the strip in this badass wide body Scat Pack. And as I'm sitting there at the light by the Luxor, I hear the familiar sound of an exotic car. And I look to my left, and coming up alongside my left was a Lamborghini Gallardo Spider with a fancy looking, I'm guessing Middle Eastern dude with a very, I don't know, Instagram looking chick with blown up lips. And like she, you could tell she was like imitating like Barbie, you know, those types of girls, the ones that really seek attention. So she's with this guy, and he pulls up next to me, kind of looks over at me, and I'm just like, oh God. And to be honest, listening to that Lamborghini and then sitting in the scat pack and then revving it up, I love the sound of the Hemi more. So we end up taking a left at the New York, New York, and we're both going to the freeway. He stays in the left lane, I stay in the right lane. And there is a little video. I got to see if I can find it. It's a really short clip where I'm on my phone and I pull up my phone to record the Lamborghini. And then I record myself going over to the screen and turning on track mode, right? I had never put a scat pack. Oh, I take that back. I did put one in track mode before, but never with intention to go balls to the wall. It was usually like on a test drive or something just to see what it could do. So I put this thing in track mode. I'm like, I'm about to feed this Lamborghini. You know what I mean? I'm about to give him a run for his money, right? So the light turns green. We start getting on the freeway. As soon as we start merging onto the freeway, we both punch it and he's gone. The Lamborghini's gone. As soon as I punched it, that damn scat pack got sideways. Nobody told me in track mode it feels like those things are on ice. So it caught me super off guard, so I had to pull out of it. And then I got back on it, and by that time the Lamborghini was gone. So lesson learned. I should have eased into it and just hammered it once I had got some momentum going. But hammering it right off the bat, that scat pack just wanted to break loose and go sideways. I could only imagine if that had been a Hellcat or something. Who knows what would have happened. But I was smart enough to let off, you know, ease up on that throttle. But I just, you know, I've test driven a few scat packs. And like I said, I put them in track mode. But this one, when you put them in track mode, like, you know, all bets are off. You know, none of your electronic bullshit that saves you is there to help you. So it's like, you know, you're going for it. And I mean, it caught me off guard, I'm going to be honest. But once that happened, I was playing with track mode for the rest of the weekend, and I finally got used to how it handles in track mode. And track mode is definitely a lot of fun. Very easy to get those things sideways. And once you're ready for it, and you know what's coming, way easier to control. You could sit there and fishtail down the road, like drift them. Very fun cars to drive. I will say that. But being the amateur that I am and just hammering it in track mode taught me a very valuable lesson. Thank God it wasn't at a Cars and Coffee and I didn't imitate a Mustang, but it was wild, but that was a fun trip. We had a rally, I believe it was on Saturday afternoon, where a bunch of cars got together and we rallied up into, Valley of Fire State Park or whatever it's called up in the Red Mountains. So we went up there with a bunch of sports cars and muscle cars and stuff. And that was a hell of a lot of fun. But I regret doing it. And here's why. I should have just stayed at the show because we were having so much fun at the show. The swap meet was great. A bunch of our friends were there and cruising the pits and checking out all the cars. It was just the first couple times going to Matt's, I realized that I just need to like get the initial, I don't know how to put this, like the initial shock of being at Las Vegas Motor Speedway because it's such an amazing facility. I don't know. I like that kind of stuff. So when I'm in awe of something, I don't have enough, I don't know, wherewithal to like just take it in and then get used to it real quick and then go enjoy myself. So now for the 21st Muscle Cars at the Strip, I'm going to have a lot of fun. Project Cars at the Strip. It's going to be a blast. This is probably going to be the best muscle cars at the Strip that I've ever experienced. And hopefully we can build upon this for future events if it keeps going. You never know. I'm gonna play this Muscle Cars at the Strip like it's the last one, just because, you know, party like it's 1999. You know what I mean? So I'm just going to have a lot of fun. And I hope to see a lot of you there. If you can't bring your project car out, or if you can't bring your car out, no matter what the case, hopefully you can fly out and join us. A bunch of my friends are going to be there this year. It's going to be a party. And funny enough, you know, I lost my mom at the beginning of last year. Her first year anniversary of her death was just a couple days ago. And it's really got me thinking, like, we're not here forever. You know what I mean? So I decided to invite my dad to this year's Muscle Cars at the Strip, because my dad's never really, aside from local events, my dad's really never seen what I do out there on the road, and seen, you know, just I don't think he understands quite how big Talking Mopars is, you know, and I don't say that in arrogance, just on his scale. You know, he's been on an episode. I had to fool him to get on the episode, but I just don't think he understands, you know, how much Talking Mopars is known. And I kind of want to give him a taste of that, and to spend some time with him, man. We're not here forever, you know, and for my dad to come out on the road with me and experience one of these events that I go to for Talking Mopars, I think would be a lot of fun, especially since we're going to tow the Roadrunner down there. We're going to cannonball it and just do it in one shot. So it'll be nice to have a co-pilot, especially my dad, get that quality father-son time, and then go hang out in Las Vegas. I've never been to Las Vegas with my dad. He's going to meet all my crazy friends, and we're going to party, and it's going to be a lot of fun. So I'm super looking forward to Muscle Cars at the Strip and Project Cars at the Strip 2023. It's going to be a ton of fun. More on my Roadrunner in a little bit. We'll close out the show talking about my Roadrunner controversy, because I did put it up for sale or trade, but I can explain myself. So just wait for that. The next event after March at Muscle Cars at the Strip was Mo Party in Bowling Green, Kentucky. This was the second Mo Party I'd been to. This time I flew into Arkansas, met up with my friend Matt Monroe from the Big Blocks Garage podcast, and we ended up road tripping out to Bowling Green in our buddy Chris's, I think it's a 2015 Dodge Challenger RT, which was a really nice road trip car. That was nice. So Chris, if you're listening to this, thank you. Very nice car to road trip in. Never thought road tripping in a Challenger would be so comfortable, but it was. And then of course, Matt is great company to have on a road trip. Man, that guy's funny. Matt, if you ever listen to this, dude, you're one of the funniest people I've ever met. This guy had me laughing my ass off the whole time. we had a great time at Mo Party. Mo Party's always a party. You know, we met up with some friends, Brianna and Keaton White, and some other people that were there. I mean, it's, as this show has grown and I get myself to these events all over the country, it never ceases to amaze me how many people come up to me because I'm wearing the shirt and they go, "Oh, that's Chris from Talking Mopars." And they introduce themselves, tell me about listening to the show. Yeah. Meeting people that listen to the show is one of my favorite things. It feels so good to hear people come up and you know, just acknowledge that, you know, the show even exists in the first place, but that they enjoy it that much, that it helps, you know, get them through their day. You know, maybe you're listening to this right now at work and you're like, "Yeah, man, Chris, you helped me get through my day, man. I appreciate that so much." That makes me feel so good, because when I started this podcast, there was really no other Mopar podcast, and I did it for people that had the same mindset as me. Like, why the hell isn't there a Mopar podcast? You know? So when people come up and just, you know, say they love the show or say they enjoy the show, that just means the world to me. So thank you to anybody who's ever found me at a show and said, "Hey man, I like the show." I appreciate that so much. You don't even know. But Moparty is such a fun event. These events like Muscle Cars of the Strip, Moparty, where you've got so many things going on at once. You've got a swap meet, a car show, drag racing, autocross. Hopefully at Muscle Cars of the Strip this year, we get a burnout area. That'll be a lot of fun so we can get reckless. But Moparty's got the burnouts at the end of the event. They've got thrill rides and autocrossing going on, drag racing. And it's just these automotive events, look, you know, you gotta evolve with the times. These days, I think it's important to have these multifaceted events, you know, that have car show, swap meet, drag racing, car corral, autocross, burnout pits. You know, when you throw so many different mini events within an event, you know, all these different multifaceted muscle car parties are just, they're, it just brings a whole different dynamic to the event. It just makes it so much more fun because there's so much to do. It's almost at the same time, you know, I love it, but I also hate it because I always miss out on something, you know what I mean? But Moparty's become, another one of my favorite shows. It was really cool because my friend Blaine from Holly reached out to me somewhat last minute. I think it was the week of or the week before, and asked me if I would like to be a celebrity judge for the car show. Specifically, I would be judging the truck, SUV, and essentially van class at Moparty. I was like, are you shitting me? Of course. I would be honored to be the celebrity, you know, and I use that term loosely, guest judge for an event the size of Moparty. That was awesome. That's just another feather in my cap, and something that I can add to my resume that I think is really cool, and I'm super proud of it. You know, I've worked hard to be acknowledged for what I do, and for, you know, a company like Holly to be like, oh man, do we have a judge for the trucks? No. Oh man. What, like, D-rated automotive celebrity can we get in here to be the judge? And they call me up, hey, man, you want to judge the truck class? Like, hell yeah, man, you picked the right guy. So that was so much fun. So thank you to my pals over at Holly for giving me that opportunity. That was a lot of fun. And I will be back to Moparty again this year. Next, right after Moparty, I think I had a week of a break, and then something like that. And then it was either a week or two. And then I headed out to Arizona to meet up with my friends to go to the duct tape drags. Gosh, Johnny Mopar won't shut up about the duct tape drags. And, him, Ruben from Muscle City Madness, my friend Tall John, Jeremy from Sword of Stock Mopars. I had heard so much about duct tape drags that I was really excited to go check it out. And I was originally, I mean, I'm sure if you guys listened to the show, you knew I was planning on going to the No Name Nationals, bringing the 73 Roadrunner. I couldn't get the money together for the fuel. It was kind of a comedy of errors that happened. Even if I wanted to go and I had kept the Roadrunner, I would have never made it because sometime between July and August, Facebook stopped paying me and they owed me quite a bit of money. And that was going to pay for the fuel to get to No Name Nationals in Sikeston, Missouri. And as it turned out, I got screwed. Facebook screwed me, so I didn't get paid, and I would have never made it. I would have never made it even if I wanted to. So it was just a disaster. But when I had backed out of No Name Nationals, I bought a car trailer, and I was pretty low on funds. But I did have a couple $100 to jump on a plane, go to the duct tape drags. I flew out to Phoenix, Arizona, and Ruben from Muscle City Madness and Tall John picked me up from the airport. We spent the night partying at Ruben's house, and then the next day we headed out to Duct Tape Drags. It was a fun event. Gosh, I could talk for quite a while about that one. You know, like I said, hanging out with my friends, I got to meet some people there. We were at the bonfire, and this gal, super nice gal, comes up to me and she goes, "Are you Chris from Talking Mopars?" I was like, "Yeah." And it was Vanessa from Wildcat Mopars down in Sandy, Oregon. I've never met her in person, but, you know, I'm obviously a fan of what Wildcat is all about. And I had spoken to Vanessa a couple times briefly, and she was there with a couple friends. M-Dog Nightmare from Car Crush. Shout out to Emily from Car Crush. That's a female-driven podcast that I support. I think it's a lot of fun. So I got to meet her. It's always good to talk to another podcaster in this world, because it's like, when you're an automotive event, how many of the media that are there are podcasters? You know, especially you know, non-celebrity podcasters, because you get, you know, all these automotive celebrities are jumping on the bandwagon and doing podcasts and stuff. But Emily, she's an OG. So I got to meet her. I got to meet Matt from Rolling Heavy Magazine. For those of you that don't know what Rolling Heavy Magazine is, get your shit together. Rolling Heavy Magazine is a custom van magazine that's been around for a while. I got to meet him. And I got to meet Matt and his girlfriend, Nicole. So it was just a lot of fun. Got to see the Crosbys out there, Luke and Olivia. It's always fun seeing them, and just having a good time with my friends. You know, maybe drank a little bit too much at the bonfire, but, you know, it's all good, baby. But yeah, we just had a great time. If you talk to Tall John, cause we shared a hotel room together, not the same bed, don't worry. he can attest to my snoring and that I saw the biggest logs. So, I feel bad for the people that could potentially share the trailer with me. Cause at this year's Muscle Cars of the Strip, I'm going to rent an RV and, park it at the track. It's going to sleep like, hopefully, as many as 10 people, but I don't plan on having 10 people in there, but, anybody that, stays in my RV will probably have to bring some earplugs or something, cause I'll keep you awake with my snoring. But, Duct Tape Drags was a lot of fun. Another event where I'm like, I gotta start coming to this more often. So that one I would like to hit again someday. But that was pretty much it. I didn't make it to SEMA this year, and I didn't make it to the, Muscle Car and Corvette Nationals like I'd wanted to. But that's just simply because I ran out of money. Facebook stopped paying me. I haven't been paid by Facebook since, I think my last payment was late July. So they owe me several thousand dollars. And funny enough, that's going to segue right into the Roadrunner talk, because everybody knows I traded the Mr. Norm truck for a 72 Roadrunner 344 speed car, one of 329 in tawny gold. Bodywork and paint's been done. Needs final assembly. It's, a beautiful car. It's a gorgeous car. And as you guys know, Mike Coffey challenged me to this year's Muscle Cars of the Strip to have it ready for the show. And that evolved or devolved, depending on who you ask, into Project Cars at the Strip. So an event, a little sideshow event within an event. You know, I've been thinking about it. Like, I've been working on the car, but I'm out of money and I'm waiting for Facebook to get their shit together and pay me. It's gotten to the point where, yes, I am selling my boogie van. The boogie van's got to go for me to get this Roadrunner done. And that sacrifice is really pissing me off. Facebook, like, I don't even want to get into the entire story with Facebook, but I'll tell you this. I'm not the only person they haven't been paying, because what they told me was that I had a problem with my tax information, which is crazy because I had never changed my tax information. It has been the same the whole time, and it's approved by the IRS. I pay my taxes. And then they tell me there's a tax error. And then when I go to try to fix it, I can't. And then when you try to contact support from Facebook, good luck with that. But then I find a group on Facebook of people that are all having problems just like me. And I realized that this is like some sort of conspiracy going on. And people are having the same problems getting a hold of support or getting support to actually help you fix the problem instead of just sending you automated BS that doesn't help at all. So it got to the point where I was starting to get really mad in my messages at Facebook. And then finally, it seems like I got through to a couple of these support people. And they basically told me I need to start all over again from scratch. And I'm like, oh my God. So that really hit me hard. So I started a new payout account, and the 21st of January will tell me if Facebook is really screwing me or if they're going to pay for their sins and pay me the cash they owe me. If they don't pay me, I can tell you right now, for those of you listening that follow me on Facebook, my Facebook content is going to go, it's going to no more videos. Like, I'm not giving Facebook anything that they can get paid for advertising on without paying me a cut. So keep that in mind. I'll move everything over to YouTube. And since Instagram is part of Meta and Meta owns Facebook, or Facebook is Meta, that content will be limited as well. I'll just go all in on YouTube. At least there I can get monetized and nobody I know is getting screwed there. So Facebook, while the money was good while it lasted, they stopped paying me. So I guess I just won't put anything into that anymore. But anyway, so because Facebook isn't paying me, I had to make the decision to put the van up for sale and sell the van so that I could fund the rest of this Roadrunner project to hopefully get it ready for Muscle Cars at the Strip. Because regardless, I'm towing it down there, even if it's not done, by hook or by crook. So I decided to sell the van to get, I need to order parts, man. Parts are, you know, weeks out, and I've got less than 2 months. So I'm really on a crunch time now. I don't know if I'm going to be able to do it, but I'm going to try. So much so that I sacrificed my van to make this happen. So, you know, I backed out of No Name Nationals last year. The last thing I wanted to do is back out of another challenge. I can tell you right now, I'm never accepting another challenge again. So don't ever think about challenging me unless I say, hey, open for challenges. I will say no to every other challenge from now on. It's too much pressure. And if we didn't have Project Cars of the Strip going on, I wouldn't have had to sacrifice my van. But at the same time, I really want this Roadrunner to get going, and I need this money. I will find another van down the line, and the deal that I have set up right now is pretty good. I'm not going to lose my ass, and I get to keep all the most important parts for my van that I was going to put on that I haven't put on yet. So thankfully, I haven't gotten too far on my van project, because I'm keeping the fender flares, the Pentastar portholes, the side pipes, and a bunch of other stuff that I did not put into this deal. But the money I'll be getting paid should be able to get me at least 90% of the rest of the parts I need for the Roadrunner. Now, Chris, why the hell did you put your Roadrunner up for sale or trade? The answer is simple: to keep my options open at all times. Mike Coffey, who's become a buddy over the past couple of years, he's a friend of mine. He's proven to me, just by watching the moves that he makes, that it's always good to keep your options open, because you never know what could come around. And that's what I decided to do. So I've been getting a lot of interest in the Roadrunner. I have it posted for $25,000 or trade. Do I want to get rid of the Roadrunner? No. Would I be open-minded to getting rid of it for the right amount of cash or the right trade? Yes. Those of you that know me really well and have been listening to the podcast for a while know that my dream car is a wing car, specifically a Superbird. So if I can get my hands on a 70 Roadrunner to clone into a Superbird, hands down, I do it. In fact, one of the first trade offers I got was for a 69 Dodge Charger RT, and I thought, wow, maybe this is a sign. Maybe I clone a Daytona instead. And then it took about a day for that deal to fall through. But the same guy has a 70 GTX, that's FC7, four-speed car, air grabber. And I thought that would be kind of a fun Superbird clone. But I'm not sure how I feel about the trade. I like the car. I just don't know if it's equal. I don't feel like it's 100% equal and that I would be losing out a little bit. So I got to figure out where I'm sitting with that one. But as of right now, I'm still moving forward with the Roadrunner. If the van sells this weekend like it's supposed to, and I get the money that I'm supposed to, I'm putting in a big parts order, and then it wouldn't make any sense for me to sell the Roadrunner for what I have it listed at. And if somebody wanted to trade me, they better come up with some cash. So that's where we're sitting right now. I just didn't want to, I know it seemed like I'm giving up on the project. I know a lot of people have been criticizing me like, you never finish shit, dude. I totally get it. But at the same time, I don't care what you think. You know what I mean? Like I said, I've been influenced by the Mike Coffeys of the world who are constantly flipping. And when you think they're getting rid of something good, they always end up getting something a little bit cooler. So, like when Mike Coffey had that Coronet RT, that 446 pack four speed car, that Hot Rod Magazine car that was pulled out of that collection in Arizona. Man, I thought he was crazy for getting rid of that car, but look at him now. He's got a Hemi Barracuda. He's got a couple 426 Hemis in the garage. You know, he can't be mad at that. So I just like to keep my options open. You never know. I would have never thought that somebody would have even proposed a 69 Charger RT for a trade for my Roadrunner. I was all over it. I was like, yes, let's do it. And then when the guy backed out, I was like, oh, you know, I probably would have backed out too. And then he came at me with a 1970 GTX, original FC7 four-speed car, air grabber hood. I'm like, oh man, you're killing me. So I'm waiting to get some more details on that one. But that would be a cool Superbird clone, I guess, a GTX. Most people would clone a Roadrunner. I guess I'll be the moron to clone a GTX into a Superbird. Honestly, if the Roadrunner doesn't sell or I don't get a good trade proposition, that's fine. The car is awesome. I love it. It's badass. It's the nicest car I've ever owned. So, and I know a lot of people are either A, praying for my downfall and that I fail on the Roadrunner, because in their heads they're going, I knew he'd fail. I knew he would never finish that car. Or they're rooting for me and they're going, God, I really want you to finish that car. Please finish that car, dude. Please. And I kind of feel like I owe it to myself and not just the people that are rooting for me, but I owe it to myself to finish that car and drive it. So, you know, the week's clicking away and I'm supposed to sell that van this weekend. And like I said, as soon as I get that cash, I'm turning around and I'm ordering a ton of parts. So that's that. But I definitely don't want anybody to think that I'm giving up on the Roadrunner. Not just yet. I don't like to give up on things. If anything, I like to make moves to elevate my situation. And so far, every car, every vehicle I've gotten rid of has elevated me a little bit in this Mopar game. So that's kind of the angle that I'm taking. But I don't think anybody's going to give me the right deal before I spend $5,000 on parts for this Roadrunner. So if that doesn't happen, then we're going to do everything we can to get this Roadrunner ready for Vegas. And if anybody wants to fly up to Washington and help me, I will pay for your plane ticket. Psych, I'm just kidding. I couldn't afford that. Maybe for like one person to come up. But in all seriousness, I really appreciate when I post things for sale, I get to gauge not just my audience, but all my friends and see where they're at as far as support. And to everybody out there that's like, you know, this is to some of my friends and some of my audience that have reached out and said, hey, man, whatever you do, I'm cool with it. I'm just here for the ride. You know, I'll support you and whatever. Man, I appreciate you guys. To you guys praying for my downfall, got to pray a little harder. Thanks for listening to my 2022 review. Talking Moparts is back, and we'll have a couple more episodes for you later on in the week. Thank you for listening, and remember, folks, no Mopar left behind. There you have it, my friends. Another episode of Talking Mopars is in the books. For everything you need to know about the show, you know where to go, talkingmopars.com. And you can reach me by emailing Chris at talkingmopars.com or by leaving me a voicemail on my voicemail box at 209-28-MOPAR, and you just might get to hear yourself on the show. So keep sharing those Mopar stories with me and anything else that is on your Mopar addicted mind. Special thanks to my friends at DIYHemi.com. For those of you that don't know, Blake has rebranded DIY Hemi, so although the website is still DIYHemi.com, DIY Hemi is now Sublime Technologies. So if you've been considering swapping a modern Gen 3 Hemi into your classic Mopar, then reach out to Sublime Technologies, get a hold of Blake, and tell them that I sent you. Blake has supported me from the beginning of this show, and I also support him in his mission to Hemi swap the world. Also, don't forget how important it is to keep your Mopar protected from the elements. If you need protection, don't wait. Head on over to TalkingMopars.com, click on the Affiliates tab, and go get your Mopar covered today. Before we shut this podcast episode down, if you want some Talking Mopars merchandise like t-shirts, hoodies, stickers, and more, check out the merch shop on TalkingMopars.com. I am working on some new merch. I said that on the last show, and I am going to let you guys know when that new gear is available. One final thing, if you'd like exclusive bonus episodes of the podcast, as well as exclusive bonus videos, they are available only to my Facebook subscribers. Become a Facebook supporter today and get immediate access to those benefits, as well as a monthly supporter giveaway. You can do all that by going to Talking Mopars Podcast on Facebook and clicking the subscribe button. That's it, my friends. Until we talk again, I am your host, Chris Albrecht, and that was Talking Mopars.
Thank you for listening to Talking Mopars, your direct connection to all things Mopar. Until next time, remember, no Mopar left behind.